How many people have your Bibles today? If you have your Bible, stand up and hold it above your head and bear witness of God's Word. Amen. You may be seated, please. I want you to turn, if you would, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. It'll be near the end of your Bible if you're not familiar with it. It'll be right before the book of 2 John. Two books before the book of 3 John. 1 John. This is not the Gospel of John, which is found right after the book of Luke. This is 1 John in the back of the Bible. When you find your place, say, I have it. I want us to be able to look at something today that I think is paramount in our walk with God and the joy that we have in our everyday lives as Christians. And if you are in this room today or listening to this by way of radio or on the internet, or maybe someone just gave you a CD, understand that God wants us to have fellowship with Him. And so, because He wants us to have fellowship with Him, He gives us a blueprint in His Word that shows us what to do, what not to do. And no one would be better to show us what God wants us to see about fellowship than the disciple John. And I want to tell you why. If we think about the history, the background of John, we realize several things about him. And he wrote this book of 1 John. You see, John was the disciple of Jesus that wrote this book of the Bible under the inspiration of God. And there's some background that we absolutely need to know in order to understand what we're going to talk about today. The reason that John would be the one that wrote this. You see, John was one of the closest people to Jesus while Jesus walked upon this earth. Did you know that? One of the closest people to Jesus. He was one of the disciples, but he was more than just one of the disciples. He was part, now get this, part of the inner circle of disciples. You say, what do you mean the inner circle? Do they have a secret handshake? Did they have this? That? No. I'm talking about the inner circle. There were things that Jesus did with several of the disciples that he didn't do with the whole group. And repetitively, through the Bible, we see that John was involved in those things. He was one of the first disciples that was called, just to give you the background, to paint the picture here, to lay the framework. You remember that Andrew and his brother Simon Peter came to be disciples. And then as Jesus saw James and John, the son of Zebedee, they were fishermen. And he called them and he said what? Come and follow me, I will make you what? Fishers of men. So we remember he was one of the first disciples that was called. And then also know that Jesus had close enough fellowship with John. And at certain times, it was just John and several others that were with Jesus. And I give you a couple of examples. We won't study these, but just to be able to clarify God's Word, if you would write in your notes, we won't be turning there, but there's a story in Mark chapter 5 that you'll see about Jesus. And he was doing several miracles there, but then in the midst of the miracles, and there was a man that came up and he said, well, listen, my daughter is sick. She's sick unto death. And his name was Jairus. And as he went to heal her, there was another woman that came up that he needed to go perform a miracle on. So that sort of got put by the wayside. And then they came and said, hey, my daughter is dead. Or they sent word and said, his daughter is dead. And so Jesus was going to Jairus' house. Does anybody remember this story? And as he was going there, listen, he made this comment. I think it's sort of strange, but it does prove our point. Listen, it says Jesus was going to Jairus' house. It says, to raise her from the dead. We read this in Mark 5:37. This is what Mark wrote. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John. So nobody could come with him except Peter, James, and John. And then we see later on in his word, in Mark chapter 9, Jesus went to this mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. And he went to the Mount of Transfiguration to be able to be at one with God and pray. And that's a whole different sermon. But during that trip, he only took with him several disciples. Listen to what it says in Mark 9, 2. Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration. He took Peter, James, and John. How about that? So John, he's in the inner circle. I want to go even further. If you think about Easter, when we celebrate Easter, we know that all those disciples gathered in the upper room and they were going to eat the Passover meal. In Luke 22, he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover feast that we may eat. He sent them out. They were his right-hand men. And I'll tell you how close John was. Now, John referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, you might think that's a little arrogant of John, but John loved Jesus and Jesus loved John. And when he referred to himself, he said, and the disciple, he didn't call himself John. He said, and the disciple that Jesus loved. They were close, right? You say, well, John was being presumptuous there that Jesus loved him so much. I'll tell you this. You might not know this story, but if you were to ever read John chapter 19, John's story of the crucifixion, you'll find in verses 25 through 27 that Jesus looked down at John and he looked at Mary and he said, Mary, this now is your son. John, this is your mother. Do you know that Jesus loved John and was close enough to him to tell John, hey, I'm going to be dying. You take care of my mother. Do you know that the Bible says John moved Mary into his house and took care of her and provided for her? That's close, isn't it? So when John began to write this book of 1 John, well, all this information is important because I give you these examples to show you the closeness, the realness of the fellowship that Jesus and John had together so that you can understand that what John is saying in this first chapter of 1 John when he says we spoke about those who were close to Jesus. Now, that's the point you need to get. This we, when he uses the word we, it speaks about those who were close to Jesus. It's a short little word. It's two letters long. Say it with me. Again. Now, we're using the English we, not the French we, which means yes. We're using W-E, right? We. Now, we're just going to dwell on this one little word. We. I think there's something fascinating here. And as I began to see this in his word, I thought, hey, there's something here. And I followed this trail through the Bible. I think it's phenomenal because it teaches us a truth that we really need to have joy in this life. Something neat about this. Are you turned to 1 John chapter 1? I want you to notice something. Every verse in 1 John 1 has the word we in it. And out of these 10 verses, we see the word we 20 times in 10 verses. Do you think he's trying to get a point across? But this word we that he has here, it represents two different groups. So I went and I highlighted every time that we saw the word we or us. Even the word we, as it goes through there, and I highlight each one, it looks polka dotted through there. There's we is scattered. So what's he trying to say? Well, actually, what we're going to learn today is when he says the word we, he's actually describing several groups of we. Not just one group of we, just as these men that stood up here. I ask each one of them, as I asked Blake and I said, do we have fellowship together? Do you have anything in between me? He said, no. Guess what? That was one group of we. The next group of we was Brandon. He said we had fellowship, but did we really? And then the next group was Anthony. And Anthony said we have fellowship, and we really didn't. But Anthony repented, and we got fellowship again, right? And all those examples, there were three groups of we there. And if you put them together, they were one group of we, all those three that said they had fellowship, but did they really as a group have fellowship? No. So when you look how important this one little word we is today, without explaining it any further, and as we study this first chapter, I want you to see the two different groups that we're going to focus on, the two different groups of we. The first group of we are those that have real fellowship with God. I'm talking about real fellowship with God. What will be the opposite of real fellowship with God? Let me use this word, fake fellowship with God, insincere fellowship with God, unreal fellowship with God. So the first group is those that have real fellowship with God. The second group will be those that do not have real fellowship with God. Pretty simple, two groups, right? Now, as we study this first chapter of 1 John, you know we're not just going to do a history lesson today. We're going to ask ourselves a question today, and I asked myself this question as I was studying it. There were a time in my life where I should have asked myself this question, and I didn't. But the question I want us to be able to ask ourselves today, just ourselves, is which we are we? Which we are we? As far as groups go, we're going to talk about groups of we. Which we are we? Can you remember that? I want you to say it out loud with me. Which we are we? Now, you're not asking that to the person beside of you. You're asking that to yourself. You might discover today that you're in the wrong group of we. Might not even know it. I want to read verses 1 through 4. And I want you to notice as we read these first verses how many times John says we. He's basically letting us know that there was true fellowship between Jesus and him and the others who were close to Jesus. And he's saying this for our benefit. So I want to read verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. First four verses. You know what John is establishing? I know Jesus. I'm close to Jesus. I was with Jesus. I saw Jesus. I heard Jesus. I felt Jesus. I experienced Jesus. We had fellowship. Clear and simple. That's what he's saying. And not just me. We. Me, Peter, James. We went places that we're telling you the truth. It's not just that it's there. We actually did this. We did. He says it for our benefit because if we read in verse 3, he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Why? That ye also may able to, that you may have fellowship with us. They're already saying they have fellowship with Jesus. Now they're saying, we declare it unto you. John is saying, we, not just me, but all the people that were with me, we declare it unto you so that you can have fellowship with us. Listen. And he's saying this in the second part, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, it means nothing for you to come into fellowship with me, John says, but I want you to come into fellowship with me because I have fellowship with him. Amen? Amen. So that's the we he's talking about. Now, is that valid? Well, absolutely it's valid. And in verse 4, I think this is key. He says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You know, in thinking about this and having several weeks, and there was a sermon within the sermon, God sort of restructured this sermon. As I began to see the importance of this scripture, verse 4, the reason he was describing these groups of we, the reason that he said, we are going to write these things and explain these things unto you, for one reason, that your joy may be full. And I want to give you a revelation today that you may not know, and John's giving it to you. If you're a Christian living in this world and you are not in fellowship with God, if you're not a part of that group of we, there is no way that your joy can be full. If you are someone who has never accepted Jesus Christ, there is no way that your joy can be full. This is the key to happiness. It is not the job that you get that gives you the income that you get to give you the things that you want. It is not the relationship that you desire that's going to give you exactly what you think you want to see and be with it that's going to make you happy and give you joy. It's not. It's having fellowship with God and letting Him give you joy through whatever situation that you're in. Real joy. But it only comes with real fellowship. So we're going to get down to the brass tacks today. We're going to find out if we have real fellowship, if we have real joy. You see, this is big. Listen, the key for us to be full of real joy is for us to have real fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's simple, isn't it? The key for us to have real joy is to have real fellowship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. That's what John is saying. I'm not talking about false joy, temporary joy, fleeting joy. Those kind of things come with these material things that sidetrack us, don't they? He's talking about that you might have full joy. Now, there's probably people that are listening here today that find themselves in a position now and life's thrown them a bunch of curves and they're wondering where their joy is. Or maybe they've been in a situation before, even as a Christian, and they've thought, it's just a struggle. I don't know why I don't have joy. I know I'm saved. We might discover something here today. You see, John was saying repetitively, we had real fellowship with Jesus, and you can have real fellowship with him too. Now listen to his message in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. This is the message. First he introduced it. This is the message, short chapter. So I read these six verses, verse 5 through 10. Read them with me. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John 2, the first two verses. My little children, all these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, listen, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In this message from John, he's trying to show us that in order to have the joy of living a Christian life, we have to have real fellowship with God. And in order to have real fellowship with each other, then we must have real fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. I want to explain that today because I'm going to speak to you individually and then as a church. You see, so many people will quickly tell you that they have fellowship with God. They know God. They're good with God. As a matter of fact, I've been given the opportunity many times for someone who has basically left God by the side, went and lived their life, and at the moment of death, they realized there was nothing left. Part of their words were, I want to make peace with God. Have you heard that term? I want to make peace with God. Basically, when you're making peace with God, you're doing what we saw up here in this children's sermon. You're basically saying, God, I need to get everything out from in between, me and you. You know what that is? That's something to come back into fellowship with God. Now, it's up to God to look at the sincerity of that, but what I'm saying is, basically, we have to first come into fellowship with God to be in fellowship with each other. And many people that are here today, we're in church today. You say, well, I'm in church. I must be in fellowship with God. I want you to see that there's many people that say they're good with God, but John's teaching us here that real fellowship with God is different. He was able to say we because he was close to Jesus, but he's saying there are many people, get this now, there are many people who are lying about the fellowship that they have with God. Well, this is supposed to be something where, if this is the service where we're supposed to have where everybody leaves and nobody is offended, you picked the wrong service. Because he offended me. And I had to confess to him. So sometimes the Word of God does offend. It's not what we want to hear, but it's what we have to hear. You say, well, I'll tell you what. I just don't know. I don't know. You're saying that we could be people who are lying about fellowship with God. Yeah, I've sort of broken it down into three categories because I'm just following John's lead. John broke it down into three categories. There are some people who are lying about their fellowship with God because they're lying to the others around them. There's other people that are lying about their fellowship with God, and they're just lying to themselves. And there are other people that are lying about their fellowship with God, and they're lying to God. And John teaches us this, so I want you to see this. You see, the people that are lying to themselves, that he uses the word, they deceive themselves. And we'll look at that a little closer. Then there's another group, and those people, they're in fellowship with God. And it's strong. So many groups of we here. So we need to ask ourselves again, remember our question? Can you tell me the question again? Tell me again. Which we are we? Wouldn't you want to know? Does anybody in here not want to know which we are we? Surely you want to know that, right? You want to know where you stand with God. So, what is fellowship? Well, I told you the example that I learned when I was a child. It's two fellas in one ship. That was easy for me to remember. He said they both have to be paddling the same way and rowing, and they have to be in one accord, and they have to be doing things together and working together, and this person can't stop, and this person keep going. They're fellowshipping. If we were looking at a more appropriate definition, fellowship is companionship. It's togetherness. It's solidarity or communion between two people or a group of people. It means everybody is on the same page. There's nothing that's hidden. So what is the thing that keeps us from having fellowship with God? It's one three-letter word. Sin. Sin keeps us from having fellowship with God. You can't have both. Now, we can have fellowship with each other, and it's good. I love being able to fellowship with people in church. But what we need to remember is that if we have fellowship with each other in church, but we fail to have fellowship with God, then we don't have true fellowship. We don't have the true fellowship that God's told us then we can have. I mean, this would be genuine fellowship if we fellowship with God first and then each other, but it's not genuine fellowship. In other words, it's not real fellowship, because we have to have real fellowship with God in order to have real fellowship with each other. So what are you trying to say? Well, I think this is pretty epidemic in our day and time. You can assemble a lot of people together and have church, and you can call it church, but you cannot have fellowship with a bunch of people together, godly fellowship, until that person has fellowship with God. Now, it helps us to be able to come into the fellowship, the church fellowship, but understand, there are groups of people that are meeting everywhere today, and they're not on the same page. Those people meet, it's no different than a civic organization. The Bible calls us into oneness, doesn't it? We can't come into oneness until we come into fellowship with God. There's so many people today that believe that they can go into church with church people and have fellowship with those church people, and that will give us fellowship with God, but it's not. It's backwards. In order for us to have real fellowship as the church body, we must first fellowship with God, and then, if we're in fellowship with God, we have real or true fellowship with each other. In other words, in order to have a fellowship with God, we have to start with our fellowship individually. How do you do that? Well, it starts with salvation. None of us can come in and say, we're part of the church fellowship here, unless first you initiate your fellowship with God. How do you do it? Do you grow into it? Can you be born into a church and all of a sudden you're good? Can you go through classes that the church offers and be able to know that, hey, I've passed this course, and so I'm certified in this, and they've given me my certificate, I'm good to go? Well, the Bible doesn't speak of that. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't. Right? So what do we have to do? Well, we would have to be born again to see the kingdom of God, to be in the family of God. So what we have to do to have fellowship with God, to start fellowship with God, we have to start the relationship. We start the relationship by being able to accept Jesus as our Savior, cry out to God for mercy, acknowledge that we're a sinner, repent of those sins, and say, God, I've had something against you. All these sins are keeping me from you. God can't have anything to do with sin. So we have to acknowledge that we're a sinner. We have to believe in who Jesus says he is and believe in who God says he is. And then we have to basically commit to him. What are we committing? We're saying, I'm not going to have anything between me and you. I know that I need you. So when we make that commitment, then we come into fellowship with God. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Is there any other way? Well, Jesus says there's not. He says there's one way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's it, one way. He reconciles us to God through his blood. So our first priority as Christians, before we can do anything for him, let's say, let's come together as a church and let's do this and let's have this great fellowship. Stop right there. We can't do any of that until everybody first checks their own fellowship. There's church fellowship, but individual fellowship has to be there for you to have true church fellowship. There are groups of people today that insist that they're living a Christian life and they're part of a church fellowship, but they're living a lie. And I know that sounds like a very strong statement, but as we read 1 John chapter 1, you say, I can't believe you just said, hey, there's people that are in church that are living a lie. Why don't you preach something a little bit more cheery today? Here's why. I was one of those people for about 10 years. I'm not going to point at you. I'm going to point back at me. The reason that I'm going to preach this is because I wish somebody would have stood in front of me and let me see that I was lying, living a lie. Part of a church, growing up, being so strong, realizing that, and then all of a sudden, I began to do things that God said I shouldn't do. And I still thought I could go and everybody else would know I was in fellowship. And I still, in myself, convinced myself that some of the things that God said were wrong that I'd began to do, they weren't actually wrong. They were right. It's just the way it was written. You know, when I started doing that, I fell out of fellowship with God. 10 years. You say, what did you lose? I lost my joy. I was a Christian out of fellowship with God. Did you lose your salvation? Well, I didn't. Lost my fellowship with God. You say, what do you mean? Listen, my children are my children are my children. They're my children. I have them. They're mine. They do good, they're mine. They do bad, they're mine. Right? Isn't that the way it is with children, parents? Those children know exactly what I say that I expect in our household as the father, as the parent. They know that I want a relationship between them that acknowledges and obeys the rules that are set in that household. And when everybody is acknowledging and obeying because I'm following the rules of God, that's the pattern, right? I've got to do my part, and then they're supposed to follow that leadership. Listen, if they go out and do things that they know that I'm against, they don't stop becoming my child. But does it hurt our fellowship? Absolutely, it hurts our fellowship. Same way with God and us. You know, if they hide that thing they're doing and they don't tell me, but I know it, it doesn't make me mad as it does disappoints me. Why? It's because I thought we had fellowship. I thought we were honest. That's the picture that God's trying to show us here. You see, sometimes, admittedly, we lie about our fellowship to God. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I mean, I'm not saying that we're lying about it. Listen to verse 6, if this isn't clearly. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So John's actually saying it. Don't go away from here saying, Pastor Mike said, hey, we're lying if we do that. No, you go away from here and say, Pastor Mike repeated that John said after Jesus told John to write it, right? And here's a little tidbit. I don't think that John would have talked about this group of we that he's talking about here unless it actually existed. So it must exist. There must be somebody out there that is saying that they're walking in fellowship, but they're walking in darkness. Verse 5 basically says that God is light In him is no darkness at all. This means that where God is the place where no sin is. That's the easiest way I can explain it. God can have nothing to do with sin, so God is called light. Why would he be called light? Because God is the light that exposes sin. God is such an absence of sin that if sin comes into God's light, sin is exposed. You can't be in the presence of God and have sin. God's light is what makes the sin darkness. Does that make sense? God can have nothing to do with it. So with me, whether it's hidden in my pockets in life, my proverbial pockets, whether it's something that I'm not admitting, whether it's something that you don't know, it's still exposed by God when I try to come into fellowship with him, because God is light. That's why he gives us that picture. We have to basically leave our position of being an unrepentant, unbelieving sinner and step into a place of light that exposes our sin if we want to start a relationship with God. You can't come to God and say, God, I'm going to keep this. You see, we have to walk and communicate where God is if we want to have fellowship with him. We have to go to him and hang out with him. We have to stay with him where he is, because he's the light. And it's as if we have began to think that God has to come to us. That's become the mindset. God, you know where I'm at. Would you come to me in this situation? You know I'm here and I'm struggling. God, can you come to me? God has never told us he's going to come to you. You know what he says? I sent my son to you. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you so that you can come to me. God's not going to come to darkness. He asked you to come out of darkness into light. He might find you in darkness, but he calls you out of the darkness. You can't come to God and say, I'm going to commit to you and have the things that we carry to him that we think are hidden. It's no different than these three men that were standing in front of me. There's your picture. It just can't happen, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Does that make sense? Any place outside of the fellowship of God is called darkness. Do you know that you can be around other Christians and be in darkness? I'm going to scare you this morning, okay? You could be around other Christians and be in darkness. You could be in a church body and be in darkness. You could be in a Christian marriage and have darkness. You can be in a Christian friend group and have darkness. You say, well, all these things are things that I thought I was supposed to be doing in church and around Christians, and me and my wife, how can we still be in darkness? Because darkness is the absence of light. If those people that are in that marriage are not in fellowship with God, you've allowed darkness to come into that marriage. Friend groups, listen, I had Christian friend groups growing up. Several of us were Christians, but I was one of the worst people I could be around. I was one of the worst people he could be around. And it's almost like this, you know, and I hear parents all the time saying, you know, my friends have started to hang out. It's that group they're hanging out with. Well, I'm going to give you a heads up. Those other parents, your kids are the group. We're always looking at that group they started hanging out with. Listen, we have to think about, hey, is the group my kid, right? I guess what I'm saying is, just because my child comes in and says, hey, I'm hanging out with these, they're Christian people, and I think that's great. That's always the first thing. But listen, if those Christians aren't walking in fellowship with God, there's darkness in that relationship, because they're not listening to God. They're not communicating with God. In the marriage, they could be two Christian people. But if they're not in fellowship with God, that marriage doesn't have the light that God needs to put in it. To have fellowship with God, you have to be talking to God. You have to be searching, whether you're reading his word or listening to something. You have to be glorifying him. You have to be actively engaged in worshiping God Almighty. Why? Because that's how we stay in fellowship with God. The Spirit shows me immediately when I'm beginning to step out of the will of God. That's wrong. Ooh, that's wrong. Ooh. If I'm not in fellowship with God, I've been way over here before. Have you? I stepped out of the light, way out of the light. So I'm saying, you could have darkness in Christian relationships. The key is to make sure the fellowship is there. As long as I'm fellowshipping with God, I try to think about it this way. If God's with me every day, hanging out with me, He sees me, He's with me, He's got the Holy Spirit in me. And I tell my kids this just to make it heavy on them, no matter where they're going, what they're doing. You going to that movie? So I hope all y'all enjoy it. Well, you mean all of us, just me and him. I said, no, you and him and God, y'all be going together tonight. You going to that party? You going to that bonfire? So remember who's going to be there. Jesus is going to be at the party with you. So hopefully he'll enjoy it too, you know. Why? Well, that's the fellowship. You take it wherever you go. You don't have a choice to leave it at the door, right? Amen. It's either walking in the light or it's not walking in the light. If a group of Christians or a church body or a married couple or a friend group is not walking in fellowship with God or is not walking according to what God says we should do or not do, or is not individually taking their instructions from God and submitting to Him, then we could be a Christian group but still be walking in darkness. This is what God calls living a lie. When we accept the truth and then refuse to walk in it, we're living a lie. When you tell God, hey, I want your salvation. I want to accept your son, Jesus Christ. I know that it's wrong to do this, and I believe your word, and I know that I'm coming to you and saying that I'm not right in my position of being a sinner. When you accept that truth and his salvation, but then you refuse to walk any further in it, you're living a lie. There are plenty of people that get saved, truly saved. They accept all the salvation that God has to give them, but then they refuse to walk in it. They will live a Christian life with the absence of joy. You say, does that happen? There's so many unhappy Christians walking around, and all it has to do is with your fellowship with God. You get the fellowship right, you'll get the joy of God right. It doesn't mean your problems will go away. It'll mean that you can have joy through your problems. And I'm not preaching some feel-good kind of message. I'm preaching the truth, the reality. How many times did he focus on we here? So there's these two groups of we. One group of we says that they have fellowship with God. They don't have real fellowship with God. And there's another group of we that has real fellowship with God, and they have joy in their lives that comes with having real fellowship with God. So we'll start with the first group of we. And I want to make it simple so that it's easy to remember. The first group of we is represented in verses 6, verses 8, and verses 10. Makes it easy, right? First group of we, verses 6, verses 8, verses 10. All these verses start with, listen to this phrase, if we say. You know what if we say means? If we say is the same thing to say. If we speak, if we act, if we represent. So if we say, odd that they all start with that, right? Put them in this category. This is the first group of we. Verse 6, let me read it to you. Verse 6 says this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say or do something that agrees with what God says, but then we say or do something that disagrees with what God says, then we're living a lie. That's pretty simple, isn't it? God said this is wrong. We're saying it's not. We're representing that. Listen, this lie is a lie to everyone around us that has seen us say that we have fellowship with God. Look at the first thing it says. If we say we have fellowship with God. So this lie affects all those around us. It's our testimony. If we say we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness. In other words, if we've accepted the God of salvation but rejected what he says we're supposed to do and not do, guess who it affects? Everybody that saw you say that you have fellowship with God. Whether it's a parent to a child, a husband to a wife, a friend to a friend, this lie is a lie to everyone around you. It's a fellowship lie, this group of we. We have fellowship with God. Oh, yes, now we're going to go out doing this tonight, but we have fellowship with God. Yeah, we have fellowship with God. Yeah, we still struggle with this one thing, but we've got fellowship with God. Yeah, we have fellowship with God. Now, I mean, we're not really into it as much as a lot of people are, but we have fellowship with God. This is to people that say something, but then what they're doing is not what they're saying consistently. Verse 8. Verse 8 is the next person in the group of we. Same group. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Short little things here, but so powerful. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What do you mean if we say we have no sin? If we say that what we're doing is not sin and go against what God says is sin, then we lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. This is pretty important. This is how our sin begins each time we sin. Would anybody here like to know how to stop sin before it begins? A couple people? Good. The devil tempts our minds to sin. And then, do you know that inside of you you have a desire to go along with that temptation? Oh, let's get honest this morning. Are you with me so far? And when we act upon that desire by lying to ourselves and we tell ourselves that it's not wrong to do this certain thing that God has clearly said is wrong, and then we accept that lie and do what God says we shouldn't, then we sin. That happens so quickly when we sin. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I feel like I'm going to say it. Listen, it's okay. That person deserves it. Say it. There it was. I was convinced. I had a desire to. I lied to myself and told myself, I'll say it, but I'll be good. Fine, do it. I did it, right? Or an action. Christian people all over this world that marriages are breaking up because they've convinced themselves a lie. They've become in bondage to alcohol or prescription drugs because they believed a lie. They're sitting in front of their device and they're looking at pornography because they believe a lie. Christian people. I could go on and on. There's people that are young people that are believing that it's some rite of passage, even if they're Christians, to step outside of what God said is right and wrong. And so they believe the lie. So in other words, this is the group of we that says, okay, well, I don't think it's sin to do this. And so they've believed a lie. Guess what he says? You've deceived yourself. So you didn't lie to anybody outside. You've lied to yourself. Sometimes when we say something long enough, we begin to believe it, don't we? God says when we do this, we deceive ourselves. And I told you this next group, verse 10, 6, 8, and 10, we have this first group of we. It says again, if we say, this is verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Tell you what, this first group of we, they've lied to the people around them. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe they've lied to themselves, or maybe they're lying to God. You say, how do you lie to God? Well, basically, if we say that we've not sinned or that we're not sinners, then we're lying to God. We're saying that sin doesn't really exist. And to say that sin doesn't exist is calling God a liar. Do you know the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? It tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. So God is saying we have sin. That's what separates us from him. But do you know this is the devil's campaign? This is his scheme in today's society. Listen, sadly, this morning, as I was sitting there having a cup of coffee, a little news clip came on that was basically talking about some award show. Who knows which one? That's another subject. But some award show, I can't even tell you what it was. But they named the top four people that won awards. One of the people was the great representation that they had as a transvestite. The next one was a woman who was married to a transvestite. The next one was a man who was openly gay. So as you went down the line, you were seeing what they were glorifying because they have come to the decision that that is not sin. Listen, you're in a minority this morning. Your children are not getting taught that sin outside of this place right here and your home. You better make sure both of them are frequent in doing that because God said it was wrong so crystal clearly. But here's what he's talking about. If you say, verse 10, if you say that we have not sinned, basically the translation here, that we're not sinners. Sin doesn't separate us from God. We make God to be a liar. So in these three verses, we can either basically not do what God says we're supposed to do. We've already said we're his fellowship. But We're not really walking in fellowship. We basically lie to everybody around us. Or we could deceive ourselves and lie to ourselves, or we could lie to God. But I want to tell you about the second group of we. It's different. I want you to notice the if we in verses 7 and 9, and then those first two verses of chapter 2. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light. If we walk in the light. Do you see that? Say that phrase with me. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Glory to God, right? This is a different we here, isn't it? Totally different group. The first group said, hey, we're lying to other people. We're lying to ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We're lying to God. Whole totally different group. Isn't that amazing? All in one chapter. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God, right? If we live according to what God said is right and come into fellowship with him through Jesus, then we have real, genuine fellowship with God and with everyone else that is agreeing with God and walking in light. You say, well, how do you stay in fellowship with God? You stay in the light. Stay walking in the light. You say, Pastor, I've tried that. It's very hard. It is hard sometimes to stay in that light, and God knows that, but he expects us to. He doesn't give us a free pass. It says God's going to forgive us, so I'm going to step out knowing that he's going to forgive us. When we do this, when we stay in the light, basically what he's saying is we've used the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sinful condition. We also are able to repent of any sin that we commit after we come into fellowship with him so that we can stay in fellowship with God. Now let me explain this. When you come into fellowship with God, that's when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. How many people know that? If you do, raise your hand, say amen. Right? Now, that's when you come into fellowship with God. This one thing to come into fellowship with God, it's another thing to stay in fellowship with God. Listen, I'm preaching this because I came into fellowship with God, was in fellowship with God for about 5 years, and then lost fellowship with God for 10 years. Well, why? Well, I chose not to walk in the light. I knew what to do and what not to do, but I put it aside. I lost fellowship with God. You wouldn't have known that I represented God. At first, I'm sure it affected those around me because at least around them, I claimed that I had fellowship with God. So I told that lie. Next, it became a lie that I was just telling to myself to make myself feel better about what I was doing. Thirdly, I guess I must have been lying to God because I didn't even acknowledge my sin. Come on. Maybe I'm the only person in this room that's walked that path as a Christian. God knows that we have the ability to mess up. We're children. That's why he gave us verse 9. Verse 9 says, basically, I want fellowship with you. I know you've messed up, son. All you have to do is just not keep it from me. All you have to do is not hide it from me. Listen to this. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess. Now, hopefully that's next week's sermon about confession. I'm not talking about going in a booth and talking to me and telling me what you've done wrong. I'm talking about the confession that God says in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 7 and 9 both speak about cleansing. So understand, sin makes us dirty. Sin represents darkness. We have to be cleansed and come out of the dark in order to walk in the light and have fellowship with God. God knew that we had a sinful nature. He knew that we may sin after we come into fellowship. I don't believe that I can sin and lose my salvation. I believe that I can sin and lose my fellowship. There are so many people that begin to question, and the devil will begin to convict in certain ways. You know, the devil convicts and the Holy Spirit convicts. And we're going to talk about that next week. But for right now, we need to know that God puts this in here because he wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to be able to say, I am guilty. There's something I've got between me and you, the same way these guys were. And I want to confess it and acknowledge it and repent of it and give it to you because I want that fellowship. At the moment we do that, he is faithful and just. That means God will do what he says and say what he does. That's God. I'll forgive you of your sins. I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That means I can be clean enough to go in front of God again. And in 1 John 2, 1 and 2, God commends us in this way. He tells us not to sin. See, for the person that says, oh man, I got a free pass. I know that if I go out here and I do this, or I drink this, or I take this, or I look at this, or I say this, or I go this place, or I do this action, I know that if I do it, I'm a Christian. Listen, I know I'm just going through a bad thing, and I'll go to God and he'll forgive me for it. You know what God says? Basically, he starts by saying, hey, do not sin. God's not a dummy. He knows you can't come back to him. He knows before when you had that thought that said, I'll get away with it. He's that parent that can see everything that you're doing. You can't do it to God and just mock him by that. First thing he tells us to do is not to sin. But if we do sin, he says we have an advocate with the Father. I love it. He says we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is our advocate, the Father. He is our defense attorney. That's what an advocate is, right? He speaks on my behalf. So here's what happens. You know, this is amazing that we have this. That Jesus is our defense attorney. There's another place in there that it says, not this, he's our advocate, he's our propitiation. Big word, King James word. I love it. You know what it means? It means he's paid the price. He's our atoning sacrifice. So what Jesus does is, in order for me to be coming to God and get back into fellowship, and this can happen at the end of the service today. It happens. I'm going to show you both sides of it. What happens is me, I acknowledge my sin. God, I know that I've got this in between me and you. I've been doing this. Nobody else in the world knows, but you know. I'm bringing it to you today. I'm emptying my pockets and I'm saying, God, I've got this and I bring this to you. I'm guilty. My defense attorney, Jesus Christ, the way that I got to God to begin with, my defense attorney takes my sins and goes to God the judge and said, your child, Shof, Mike, he sinned. You must have known because you haven't seen him. He hadn't been close to you while he's out of fellowship. I'm bringing you his sin today. He's guilty. He confessed it. He repented of it. He wants to be forgiven. I know he's going to be punished. God hands out that punishment of sin. But my defense attorney, uncharacteristically, steps up and takes me out of the defense box, and he steps in it and he says, I'll take the punishment for his sin. I have taken the punishment for his sin. Mike Shof crawled under the blood of Jesus years ago, and so I come to you, Father, saying that I am the propitiation for his sin. I want to forgive his sins with the blood that I shed. That's the way sins are forgiven. So my defense attorney, my propitiation, my atoning sacrifice speaks on my behalf, and if I'm truly sincere, my sins are forgiven. Guess what happens? I come back into fellowship with God. That's the way it happens on both sides, on our side, on his side. You say, what's the benefit of that? I don't know. Joy? If you're not interested in having joy or being full of joy, then this message is not for you. If you want to keep living in the same drudgery of life or feeling that nervous, unpeaceful feeling, then no, this is not for you to do. But if you want joy, that's how you come back into fellowship. And he explains this here. You see, this group of we believes that we have an advocate with the Father named Jesus. Those who belong to this group of we, the ones that confess their sins, the one that accept the blood of Jesus, the one that continues to stay in fellowship and walks in the light and wants to walk in the light and acknowledges their sin, this group of we has true fellowship with God, real fellowship with God. The group of we that we see in 1 John 1, verse 7, verse 9, in the second chapter, verse 1 and 2, this group has real fellowship, and not just has it, they keep real fellowship. But the group of we that we discussed first, the one in verses 6, 8, and 10, They lie to everyone around them. They lie to themselves. And then they lie to God. They don't have real fellowship. The question that we have to ask ourselves today to see if we have true fellowship with God is the simple question that we started with, and that is, which we are we? Which we are we? You won't need me to tell you. You won't. You've got a greater preacher living inside of you if you're a Christian than I could ever be. He tells you when you're wrong. He tells you when you're right. You know when you continually step out of that and then try to step back in it. I mean, you know that. You see, this is a call today to come into real fellowship with God today and become a part of the group of we that has the full joy of God working in their lives. You can do this today. Say how? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tell God that you want to walk in the light with Him. Bring Him any sin today that is keeping you from having fellowship with Him. Whether you're lost, He will take all of the past sins and forgive them. And you can cry out to God for His salvation. He can take all of your past sins and forgive them. And if you're saved, He wants you to be in constant fellowship with Him. So when we step out of that light and we wander into that other group of we, He tells us to come back into that light. Confess. Confess what it is. He knows it already. It's the pink elephant in the room with us and God. It's something He knows. We're just not admitting and confessing. Maybe we don't even feel bad about it. He tells us to come back into the light. Ask Him to give us our joy back. You know, He asks us to come and rededicate yourself to walk with Him. That's it. I mean, God has a plan in place that is amazing. Basically, He looked at a sinner like me and sinners like you and said, I like you. No, I don't just like you, I love you. And I want fellowship with you. And here's how bad I want it. Any parent that has a child knows this. Here's how bad I want it. I want your fellowship so bad, I'm willing to see them spit in my son's face, beat him about the face and the back with sticks and chains and whips, let his blood pour out of him, mock him, call him names, ridicule him, hang him on a cross, make fun of him, throw a crown of thorns on his head. I love you so much, I'm willing to let my son go through that. So that you can come into fellowship with me. Pretty serious, right? Pretty serious love. And I wonder how much I think about that sometimes with the ease that I take to step right out of fellowship with Him. Today, everybody in here can make it right. If there's something inside of you that tells you to go and kneel before Him and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to pray with you today. I'll be standing right up here. You can start fellowship with God today and know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved, that you've accepted the blood of Jesus without a shadow of a doubt. And today, if you're here and you're a Christian, you know you've done that, but you know you need to get some things right between you and God. Do it today. Don't leave here today. This message was for all of us. Don't stay out of fellowship with God. Yes, we're in church. It looks like we're all in fellowship. That doesn't mean anything. It's between you and God. It's between me and God. Today's your opportunity to come and talk to Him. So use this invitation time. Would you stand with me? Father God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for your precious word. I pray, God, that you would speak to us today. Lord, each heart that's here, if there's one here that is questioning their salvation, they're not sure they're saved, Lord. They're struggling at a point of not knowing, but Lord, they're compelled. I pray, God, that you would give them the boldness, the courage to step out today and receive the salvation that you've offered through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving them. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving all of us. I pray, God, today that if there's any that are here, Lord, that are your children, Lord, we know we've disappointed you. We know there's times where we thought nobody knew this, but we know you've known. And Lord, it's become a block between us, and we need to be in fellowship with you. I pray, God, that you show it to each and every one of us right now, Lord. Let us have the boldness to know that we can come and kneel before you and that you'll forgive us. You'll cleanse us from that, God. I just pray, God, all over this room, Lord, the moving today of the Holy Spirit to compel people to come to you. I pray, God, that souls are saved and lives are rededicated. Today, Lord, I just ask you to move in this service. Lord, strengthen your fellowship with each person and then strengthen the fellowship of this church body with you. In Jesus' name, amen.